The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are continuing with a big weekend in college football and certainly a lot of excitement right here in Dallas with OU and Texas underway. But up in Lincoln, Nebraska, it is Jason Peters' Cornhuskers that face a formidable opponent in Ohio State, a team that certainly is looking to get back on track. His Huskers are looking to get back on track after a disappointing road loss at Wisconsin, 48-17. That is not the way, Jason Peter. You guys want to find your groove in the Big Ten Conference, is it?
No, that's not, I guess, the way that you wanted to put that first step into the conference. And first impressions go a long way. Obviously, it's not dating. So like a woman when she tells you, no, I don't want to ever date you again. Not that the door is completely closed, but 99% of the time it's closed. With football, you're fortunate you've got the next week to come back and show everybody that that wasn't necessarily you. Now, the problem is, I don't know if that for sure wasn't them on Saturday night. It was embarrassing. I mean, I don't think they're that bad, but I also don't think they're that good. I don't know if I ever truly believe. And not to sound like a Monday morning quarterback here, because everybody's, I think, 100% right after you've had an opportunity to watch the game, but I don't think I ever believed that they were a top 10 team anyway. I haven't seen enough on the offensive side of the ball with Taylor Martinez, and defensively I just think that they've struggled in those first few games of the season. I think there was a lot of people, and myself included, who had complete faith in Bo Pelini that at least the defense would get fixed prior to going to Wisconsin. I held on to that belief all the way up until halftime, really, that he's going to fix it because that's what he does. He does defense, and he fixes it. And he just hasn't found it. I don't know if it's a matter of you just don't have the right parts. I don't know if it's a ego thing. Some of these coaches, you know, they start to think that, well, just because I thought this defense up in my office at 3 o'clock in the morning that, you know, it's going to work. Ultimately, when you've got to go out on game day and try to run it and it doesn't work, some of these guys, they just can't put aside, I think, their ego, and they continue to run certain things, and they continue to shove square pegs in round holes. So a lot of questions up here in Lincoln.
You know, I'm curious because Coach Bo Pelini, he talked about that the guys, they've got to make plays, they've got to compete. Do they truly understand, Jason, what you and Grant, you know, your former teammates, what it takes to be a winner week in and week out? You can't take anybody for granted.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, and not to, I guess, go back to the glory days and say this is how things should be done because this is the way we did it, but you know, ultimately I tell people we won 3 national championships in 4 years, and realistically we probably had the best team 4 out of 4 years in the country that I was here, and we did things a certain way. It worked. It worked really well. So, yes, there are things that have changed about college football and everything that goes along with it. And, yes, the game has changed and things they're doing on offense and some of the stuff they're doing on defense, it's all changed. But ultimately, it comes down to the fundamental things. It comes down to blocking, to tackling, to throwing the football, to, you name it. It's about execution, and if you can't do those little things right, the fundamental things, I don't care how great of a mind your coordinator is or how great of a player your quarterback is, it doesn't matter unless you can do the fundamental things correct. And along with those fundamental things, I think comes an attitude as well. And I think a word that gets thrown around probably on quite a few campuses, but Nebraska and Notre Dame and probably Penn State to a certain degree, some of these programs that used to have tremendous success and now they've struggled of late, I think some of the players that wear the current uniform now, I feel like there might be a sense of entitlement that they're almost, you know, those are my five national championships up there as well. And you know, the records, you know, that's all part of my doing. In reality, some of these kids haven't done jack squat, but they walk around campus and they walk around town like they have. But the first thing that you notice when a team is going out on game day is how do they run out of the tunnel? A lot can be said
yeah.
from the way that a team enters the field. I mean, ultimately, you're entering the battlefield. And every time Nebraska has played, this year they've come out and guys are walking towards the sidelines and nobody's kind of showing that excitement that, you know, this is one of 13 opportunities that you get like this over the course of a year. And for the players not to have basically smoke coming out of their ears and their nose, you've got to be kidding me. And for some of them, I think almost the best thing that could happen to them is you take it away from them. Somehow or another, you take it away. Let them feel what it's like to be without football, and then you start to appreciate things a little bit more. But, yeah, I think it all starts with the attitude, and it just, they're not getting it done.
Jason, jog my memory for me, because I think back to last week when you guys were on the road at Wisconsin. I remember you guys played well in that first quarter, and you seemed like you guys were in rhythm. And it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about. You can't back down. You got to keep dialing it up and turning up the heat.
Yeah. You know, I think when you look at the game, and I know that they had some success early on, but I also think, especially throwing the football with Taylor Martinez, he was completing some balls, but I also think part of that success, and I think it happens lots of times when you are, when you're a good team, when you're a great team, I think you go out and you run your stuff no matter who's on the other side of the ball. I mean, we never worried about what Florida was doing or what Tennessee was doing. I mean, when we lined up, it was, they need to worry about what we're doing. And that was on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. Sure, we had game plans and we knew what they did, but it was about us and going out and executing our game plan because we knew that we were the best team. But I think when you have teams like current Nebraska now or you know, some of these middle-of-the-road type teams, I think lots of times you come out and you want to get a feel for what the other team's doing. You might not necessarily pull those corners and get them on the line of scrimmage and you know, be real physical with the receivers at the line of scrimmage and play maybe a lot of man-to-man. You might play some more zone and just get a feel for what that offensive coordinator on the other side is doing. And I think that's where a lot of the success early on came, was Wisconsin's trying to figure out what Nebraska's going to do, because there has been a lot of speculation as to what Nebraska's going to do. Even today, I couldn't tell you. I don't have a better grasp of our offense than a year ago. It seems like they want to do everything, kind of one of these jack-of-all-trades but master of none. And I think that ultimately is what you got. But I think as far as the game plan went, a lot of blame goes on Tim Beck, the new offense coordinator. I thought it was a horrible, horrible called game. You have a quarterback that I don't know why they continue to throw him into situations where he's having to throw the football in order for this team to win. You saw in the first quarter, they mixed in some throwing, and even in the second quarter, they mixed in some throwing, but there was a run game going. It wasn't a great run game, but it was working. I mean, they were picking up yards. They were moving the chains. For some reason, they come out at halftime. The game is still tight as could be. And the first play from scrimmage, he calls Taylor Martinez to throw the ball down the field, and it's intercepted. And you already had a kid who threw an interception already in the first half. And knowing the type of kid that he is, and just as from a fan's perspective, I know that when he throws a pick, he comes back and he has a tendency to try to force things to make up for that first original pick. So the last thing you want this kid doing is going out and throwing the ball down the field. You got to build some confidence back in him. And it just, they for some reason decided we're going to be a throwing team. And it just backfired. Wisconsin, it wasn't just a beatdown. I mean, it was a major, major beatdown. They did what they did to us what we used to do to teams. I mean, it was kind of old-fashioned football from Wisconsin. And I like what Wisconsin can do. And I like that quarterback, Russell Wilson. But I don't think they're that much better of a football team. I just don't think that our guys know what they're supposed to do or aren't being put in positions to really play to the best of their ability.
You know, searching for that offensive identity at Nebraska, and as I hear you saying, you cannot just rely on the arm of Taylor Martinez. Now, I'm just curious, let me throw this out there. What kind of feedback are you guys getting on the radio airwaves, you know, from the Husker fans? Are they already calling for who's the backup quarterback? Why doesn't he emerge and get out on the field?
Breon Carnes, the backup guy, and the backup quarterback's always the most popular guy on the team. He is, doesn't matter what level. At some point, the starter struggles, and everybody's calling for the backup. I don't know how much better he'll be. He's young. He's a freshman, and he's got no real experience. But at this point, you look at Martinez and what he's done, and he hasn't actually brought anything to the table when they're playing a quality defense. He builds his stats up, but when they're playing, you know, the Sisters of the Blind, that's when he's throwing for major yardage and running for major yardage. And that was kind of the old philosophy with Bill Callahan, and that's how he padded his stats, was he beat up on some of the easy teams and really, you know, got the positive yards, and then, you know, it all balanced itself out after he got his butt kicked by Oklahoma or by Texas. Yeah, you know, I'm not ready, I guess, to jump ship on Martinez, and I don't necessarily think that Breon Carnes is the answer. I think what they need to do, and I think it was clear, even in the loss, they've got one player on the offensive side that, even in defeat, he to me, he looks great, and that's that Rex Burkhead. He's the running back, number 22, and he's just a workhorse. He's tough to bring down. You can't tackle him with just one guy. He's got a low center of gravity, and he just fights and fights and fights. And he's the one shining spot, I think, on the offensive side coming out of that football game. You need to continue to work your run game. I don't care if it's 1982, if it's 2002, if it's 2032. If you go on the road, you're a Division I football team, you go on the road to a hostile environment, there's three things you pack. You pack your defense, you pack your special teams, and you pack your run game. And Nebraska didn't do two out of the three. No run game. They started, but they abandoned it. And the defense was consistently bad, the same way it's been for the first three games.
And as a result, it was Bo Pelini's most lopsided loss since his first year when he came on board as head coach. So, okay, talk to us quickly about Ohio State. What can we anticipate from this particular matchup? They, too, are coming off a loss, 10-7 loss, to Michigan State at home.
Yeah, who knows what you're going to get. I think you're going to get an upset Ohio State team, and hopefully you get an upset and angry Nebraska team. But you just never know how a loss is going to affect people. I know in the past that Bo's done a pretty good job at rebounding after a bad loss. But it's a whole new team and a whole new attitude, so we'll see. But Ohio State's not great offensively. You know, they've got problems with the kids that they've been missing, and some of them aren't going to play the ones, Heron, I think the running back, and there's a couple other kids that aren't going to get to play in the game. But, yeah, they play solid defense, and they have enough in the tank. You're talking about Ohio State, who I don't know when the last time they didn't have a top 10 recruiting class. They've got talent. They've got speed there. So at any time, they could kind of find their rhythm, and they can find something offensively. It's not going to be a cakewalk for Nebraska. If they think that Ohio State's going to come in here and they're down a year because the head coach and because they're missing all these players, I think they'll be sadly mistaken. They've got enough weapons to make a long day for Nebraska.
And I kind of cringe a little bit, Jason, you know, as I pull out and look at your guys' schedule, because it's not going to get any easier. You'll be on the road the week after at Minnesota. Michigan State comes to town, Northwestern, at Penn State, and then at Michigan. I mean, certainly a very challenging schedule. Okay, talk to us. Obviously, this is such a huge weekend here in the Metroplex. We've got OU, Texas, two undefeated teams. Texas ranked 11th in the country. The Sooners, you know, they drop a bit. They're third. What do you think about this particular matchup?
Well, I'm not buying into Texas just yet. I know that they've got the young kids in the two quarterback system, but I don't watch Texas and say this is an offense that I should be scared of. But on the flip side of things, for as good as Oklahoma is, and I'm not somebody who gets caught up in statistics lots of times, but their defense consistently is ranked 50 and high and lower. I don't know what it is, why they can't find consistency at playing at a high level on the defensive side, but I think it's something similar again this year, where they're floating around that 50th in Division I football. And when you look at the athletes and the players that they have, I mean, this should be a top 10 defense, hands down. I mean, I don't think I look at LSU or Alabama and say, gosh, they've just got a different type of kid playing there down on defense. I mean, this is the same type of kids that Oklahoma has. And, you know, Venables is a guy, he comes up all the time for head jobs. And I don't know if you know, he's just got a good agent or if these schools are actually interested in him. But, you know, it is a little shocking. But I expect more out of Oklahoma's defense. I really do. But I think in terms of the matchup, I do like Oklahoma in this game. I think Texas is starting to find something, but I don't think they're there yet.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Oklahoma, I think, is like an 8-9 point favorite, but I think it's going to be much closer than that, because you know how it is when great rivalries arrive and they get together, that anything truly can happen.
I think for the Big 12's sake, you hope that this is one heck of a football game.
Great point.
And you do your best to make sure that this game is on a lot of TV sets, because this is ultimately the game that you're hanging your conference on at this point. And if it gets ugly, one side or the other, I don't think, you know, that works out the best in the long run. But I think you got to hope for a great football game. And usually you do, like you said. I mean, it's a rivalry game. You can throw the records in the garbage. You're going to get the best out of each side.
The great Jason Peter has been along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We always look forward to his insight and analysis and our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And hopefully this week being on our program, it was a little cathartic for you. You could kind of get out, work out some of those emotions and frustration, right, JP?
A little bit. It's unfortunate. I wish I could still play and get the aggression out that way. But if I was still playing, we wouldn't have all those beatdowns that we just took at the hands of Wisconsin.
There you go. Well said. Well, Jason, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, E.
We're going to step aside. Steve Hay will be joining us from CBSSports.com with his rapid reports, and he also is with Horns Illustrated. We will be right back.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.
Around here, a person is honor-bound by their word, and the way to earn a person's trust is through action. Action that reflects character, honesty, principle, and a commitment to community. We're Pinnacle Bank, and we're dedicated to serving unique banking needs and working hard to deposit back into our communities. Not because we have to, but because it's the right thing to do. Upright and loyal, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Looking to be a part of a dynamic company that provides exceptional service in the oil and gas industry? Then consider IPS. Integrated Production Services is a leading provider of production enhancement services for oil and gas producers. At IPS, we are currently seeking energetic and team-oriented individuals with a successful track record in the oil and gas field. Here at IPS, we're committed to building a better tomorrow and for future generations through our reputation of hiring the best professionals and industry leaders to serve our clients better. IPS is offering entry-level positions, plus also seeking knowledgeable professionals with experience in logging and perforating, coil tubing and frac stimulation. Consider IPS for your future today. Send your resume to IPS, 2269 North Mash Branch Road, Suite Number 1, Denton, Texas, 76207, or give them a call at 940-484-4481. That's 940-484-4481. Or check us out online at IPSAdvantage.com.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
In our final segment, it is always a pleasure to welcome back from Horns Illustrated and CBSSports.com. He provides the Rapid Reports, national sports writer Steve Habel, who we wanted him to definitely weigh in on the Red River Shootout. Welcome back, Steve. It's always great to have you on our show.
Thanks for having me again, Alyssa. Look forward to it, as always.
Well, my first question for you is, who knew that your Texas Longhorns would be undefeated, especially after such a tumultuous offseason and dramatic changes that took place within the coaching staff? You have definitely got to be excited about where your team is at this point.
Well, I think everybody would be surprised. Everybody would be silly if they weren't say they were surprised about Texas being 4-0 at this point, especially with all the unknowns. But, you know, they have kind of rationed the responsibilities between players and coaches and taken a little bit of the entitlement issue away from Texas that really hurt them last year. And they seem like they're coming together. Of course, now the next two games will be the biggest test of the year for them.
And I want to do the player personnel, break it down, you know, how Texas is, where they are at this point. But what about the impact of this younger coaching staff? They really have been that X factor and made some significant differences.
Yeah, I think that Brian Harsin, who's the offensive coordinator now for Texas, who came from Boise State, and Manny Diaz, who came from Mississippi State, those are the two coordinators, main coordinators. You know, they have brought some enthusiasm, some different things to the staff that Texas may have gotten a little bit stale on both sides of the ball in recent years, even with a guy as dynamic as Muschamp, who's at Florida now. But, you know, you really never know what Texas is going to come at you with if you're an opponent, and that's really allowed the Texas players themselves to feel like they're always having something in their back pocket that they can bring at players, and that they're that the teams are having a hard time preparing for what Texas had. Last week, Iowa State had no answer for Texas's team speed and their very attacks on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how Texas's variability plays this week against Oklahoma, a team that you kind of know what you're getting, and they're going to come at you hard, and they got so much talent.
Well, they certainly do have a lot of talent. They're led by their outstanding quarterback in Landry Jones. He's a big part of that. So defensively, that's going to be a very big challenge for the Longhorns. The Longhorns, let me throw out the stat, 12th in the country in scoring defense, surrendering just under 15 points per game.
Yes. You know, Coach Brown yesterday compared Landry Jones favorably to Sam Bradford and to Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy, in his senior year, threw for about 76% of his passes. Landry Jones is around 72 or so. And he's showing the team leadership and the overall captaincy of the team that Bradford seemed to have his last year there. It's going to be a real test for the Texas defense. There's a lot of different looks that Texas defense will give you, and I don't know if Jones has seen that yet, but he's seen a lot. And, you know, Texas was young in the secondary to start the year. They've really grown up a lot, even though they are a little thin. And they've got some a great linebacking core. A great linebacking core can make up for a lot of things, and I think that will be a big key in the game this week.
Okay, I want to talk to you about offense because we are short on time. Break down Case McCoy and David Ash. Their stats, as I understand, they've been pretty comparable statistically, but what are the differences between these two guys? Why did he have to have two quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, a funny thing was that someone asked me during halftime of the game last week, someone not who didn't know a lot about football, asked me this simple question. Is it fair that Texas has two quarterbacks and only has one? And, you know, the answer is that it's worked for Texas. Both those guys have their strengths. McCoy is a real leadership guy, a rah-rah guy, and can really get it done on the field. The guys really believe in him. Ash probably has the better raw tools. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster. Probably got the stronger arm. But, you know, between the two of them, they make one heck of a quarterback. And that's really what Texas is doing right now. They're playing to each player's strengths. Last week, in a statistical anomaly, both quarterbacks took 30 snaps apiece. Both threw the same passes. They threw 12 passes. Both of them completed 7 passes. Both of them even ran the ball 3 times. I don't think that offensive coordinator Harsin really came into the game thinking that he was going to have it that equal, but that's really where they are. I mean, they do what they do best, and it seems like Harsin rolls the dice out there, and if the guys play, that's kind of the way he just kind of keeps the momentum going.
How has this been received by the fans? Are they on board for this?
Two platooning quarterbacks like this has never happened as far as I can remember. The last time two guys played significant time in the same year was when Chance Mock and Vince Young in Young's sophomore season split time at quarterback. That was a disaster of an OU game, if you'll remember that. I think that just fans are kind of like the media. I mean, we're all kind of throwing our hands up saying, well, I guess it's working, so it's okay. And but I really think that we haven't really seen what Texas has yet. I mean, they've been very good at disguising their offense and defensive philosophies and attacks. I think they're just kind of putting guys out there that can make plays, and it's worked for them so far.
We are running out of time. Steve Habel has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can check out his work at CBSSports.com, Rapid Reports, and Horns Illustrated. It truly is a great magazine if you are a Texas Longhorn fan and provides some great insight on that team. Just real quick, my final question for you is, how important is this game for Texas in regards to, they're ranked, 11th nationally, but, to really get to the forefront again and get to the top?
Well, I think that Texas I don't know if they even come into this win really expecting to win. OU is so much better than them across the board as far as talent-wise and experience. But a win here would sure be a springboard to the rest of the season, like it would for Oklahoma as well. I mean, this game you can throw out just about everything and just who's the last person, last team standing on the end of the day at Cotton Bowl is who walks away good.
And it's always a great game to watch. Steve, we look forward to catching up with you here in Dallas and, of course, in the weeks to come. Thanks again so much.
Thanks, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. And join us online at eradiosports.com.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.